He's America's film critic, beloved by all, the one, the only, Perry Seibert from the Michigan Movie Critics Guild on the Lucy M. Lance Show. Ann Arbor's talk station, 1290 WLBY for 28 years now. Today's movie is Toy Story 5. Tom Hanks says Disney can use AI to recreate Woody's voice for Toy Story 6 and beyond. Say it isn't so.
Oh, Tom said this 4 was going to be the last one. But sure enough, a couple years later, they came a call in and he was like, yeah, why not? Because why would you turn it down?
Yeah, quite frankly. That's true.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right. So franchise record with the massive $312 million worldwide opening, yes. Perry. Wow.
Yeah. This is an interesting case, Lucien. I mean, what is there to say about the fifth film in a film series? Okay, especially one that doesn't have an ongoing plot like the Toy Story films. And let's put this in perspective. Okay, let's talk about the Toy Story series for a second. The first Toy Story is truly one of the watershed films of all time. Like, it set the mark for this is what computer animation can do. It was the birth of full-feature Pixar. And it's a very good movie that they immediately improved upon with Toy Story 2, which is arguably the best film Pixar ever made. There are about three films I'll accept as the best answer for what the best Pixar film is, and Toy Story 2 is one of them. And then it was home free. So all they had to do with 3 is sort of end what we would think would be a trilogy, and that would have been all fine and good. And then they went and made Toy Story 4, which I'm not saying it's terrible. But it's the only film in the entire franchise that is forgettable. I don't remember anything about it. It is truly unnecessary. And while there's nothing necessary about Toy Story 5, it is a much better way to wrap this up.
Well, I couldn't figure out what on earth they were going to pull out as the storyline here, but I like the storyline.
Yes, they're focusing on Jessie, the cowgirl, voiced by Joan Cusack. Smart to have front somebody else rather than Woody or Buzz for the story. That's just a good idea. Also, they decide to sort of tackle the idea of toys versus screens. And that's the cool of the moment subtext, not subtext. Text going on in the movie. They talk about it quite directly.
Yeah. And that's what I think is so neat here, because this is what parents, kids, everyone, we're all grappling with this, aren't we? Data centers, you name it, tech is it.
And what I love is that what it ends up being about is not, it doesn't get at either of those things. At its heart, it's a movie about how do you make friends.
Oh.
It's a movie about how do people, kids specifically, but people in general, connect. How do you form those bonds, right?
Let's take a listen to Toy Story 5.
Bonnie, there's a package for you.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Hi there, I'm Lilypad. Let's play.
Oh, extinction, not again.
Bonnie, screen time's over now.
Okay.
I want to talk to you, device.
Please, call me Lily.
Me and the toys have been working all summer to try and get Bonnie to make friends.
Yeah.
But then you had to ruin
it.
You're not even listening to me.
I'm always listening. See?
Now look here. Me and the toys have been working all summer.
Now in Spanish.
What?
Yeah, I got dibs on behind the dresser.
The pig goes, I got dibs behind the dresser. If there's one criticism I have, though, why did they have to do what young people do all over? And that is the grammar is so bad. Me and so-and-so are going to the store. That's not how we're supposed to talk. I didn't need toys exacerbating that for me.
So many people talk that way, though.
And we all
know what it means.
It's wrong. Young people think because it's in the dialect and everyone seems to do it who is under the age of 30, it's become part of the fabric of Americana speak.
People have been doing it forever. It's not new.
Oh, I hate
people
it.
Have always said me and whatever.
Oh,
and yes, I understand.
Hate it.
I get everybody's got something. I'm not much of a linguistic pet peeve person. Mine is the complete misuse. I don't like how we've now perverted the use of the word random. Random doesn't mean odd or weird. Random means completely unknown. Anything can happen.
Right.
No one comes to you with a random question, Lucien. If they know what they're going to ask you, it's a specific question. It's the exact opposite of a random question.
So we all have our little
if you walk in with a wheel of questions, like on the Wheel of Fortune, and you spin it, and it lands on one of those questions, and you ask that question, okay, that's a random question.
Yeah, okay.
Unless you do that, no props.
We're off track here, but you get the idea. So that aside, in that clip that we just heard there, the idea that she gets this lily pad, and that's like leap pad, frog.
Yes. Yeah, it's the frog. Very much so. Yeah. Yes, they are as close as they can legally do to naming an actual product. But to be fair, it's a stand-in for all of the screens, and they're savvy enough. You gotta remember, the great thing about Pixar is they spend literally years making these movies, and by making them, I literally mean still rewriting them. Once a month, all the Pixar people get together and go through everything, where they are in all of the projects that are on hand. Everybody gets to chime in. All these notes are taken from the Brain Trust. And they keep working.
Wow.
And they massage it. And while that can lead to really boring, samey stuff, they give enough leeway to their real creatives to do what they want to do. And so it leads to Pixar finding ways to have some really great depth in where they don't need to be. More than you need, which is good. This is a compliment. I mean this in a good way.
Okay.
And so this is not an anti-screen movie. It is pointing out what you need to make a connection with people. What does that really mean? What does that entail? Especially for a kid, especially for an older kid, meaning like an 8 or 9 year old, a kid, but not
unfortunately
a baby,
we make connections
infant,
with our devices. That's the problem. I don't know about
the
kids.
Yes. And the movie very smartly recognizes that.
Okay.
In every way. And it is interesting to have this lesson coming at us from a company that is built on using computers to make their movie. It's like there's a part of me that's like halfway through, I'm like, this feels weird coming from Pixar.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know that I'm supposed to believe this, but like I said, they get around that by saying it's not being pro or anti-technology. It is about this very simple human thing, which is what all really good family movies should be about, right?
Yeah.
It's about recognizing one facet that all of us can relate to and dealing with a way like you also see in this movie, it's tangential, but you see how the parents use tech all the time. And it's not like, you know, it is saying we're no better. we're doing
well,
this too.
Taking over. And that clip that we just saw there, you couldn't see this on the radio, but the little girl's on her back. She's got her device up and she's really immersed in it. And you hear the father saying, "Bedtime, put the device away." And as she says, "Okay," the Roomba is going by her and hits her in the leg, you know?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a smart movie. It is. I will also say it's really funny. Which Toy Story 4 was not. It's a very charming piece of work. It will remind everybody what they once really loved about Pixar if they don't anymore. Not that you'll really love it. I'm not saying it's anywhere near the pantheon of Pixar works, but as a way to hopefully wrap up the Toy Story franchise, I'll take it. It's a real quality entry.
But they're already talking about future ones done with AI.
Of course they are.
For Tom Hanks' voice that he has given permission for.
Of course they will. And this is always what's going to happen. Because this is, like I said, and of anybody, Pixar might be able to continue to make it. Maybe another good Toy Story movie. Look, honestly, this one's better than 3.
Okay.
I like this one. 3 is, I quite like 3 as well. Don't get me wrong. I think 3 is very good. 3 had the burden of having to follow 2, which is, like I said, an absolute masterpiece of a movie. And it was when Pixar was in their absolute golden era and were untouchable and unimpeachable. They've since been they've been peachable on occasion. They're still really trustworthy. And they do really good work. Mm. And the people that do it seem to really like it. That is the one thing I will always say for Pixar. It never feels like a cash grab. They put a lot of work and a lot of good work into it.
Okay.
And so I appreciate that. Look, Lucy, what I'm telling you, what are we at to? It's a polite 3-star review. It's fine. It's very good. If you want to see this movie, yes, it is not going to disappoint. Do you need to have seen any of the others? Well, see 2 because it's a masterpiece. And it also gives you a lot of the stuff you need for this one because Jessie gets introduced in Toy Story 2. She's a major story figure in that movie. She's had a different path than both Woody and Buzz as a toy. And so that is the other way they can make this feel a little new while being completely comfortable and safe.
Okay,
this
so
is
you
how
got,
I challenge you.
You've got Joan Cusack. She's from Michigan, right? Isn't she from Grosse Pointe?
No, they're, I don't think a reason. I associate the Cusacks with Chicago.
Oh, okay.
I think they're all Chicago. All right. You're thinking of John Cusack being in the film Gross Point Blank.
Oh, maybe so.
I think that's where you're going.
All right. So she plays Jessie. Tom Hanks is back as Woody. Tim Allen is Buzz Lightyear. Tell me about Greta Lee. Do I know her? She does a wonderful job as the lily pad voice.
Greta Lee's a great actress. She was the star of Past Lives, the film we talked about, 2004. Oh. My favorite film of that year. She's done a lot of really good work in a lot of stuff since then. That sort of brought her to prominence. She's very good here. Conan O'Brien is incredibly funny as Smarty Pants. And I don't want to tell you about Smarty Pants. I want you to experience Smarty Pants in theater like I did. Because Smarty Pants is one of my favorite characters that Pixar has come up with in a while. Smarty Pants is a really ingenious idea for a character. It lets them do a lot of really easy and very funny jokes. And at the same time, then they figure out a way to actually make that character deeper and better than you think it is. It's really smart. It's really good work.
Okay.
Yes, that's really great. Craig Robinson is on board as one of – I don't want to spoil it. I'll let you discover he and Conan O'Brien's characters if you go see this. I do love that Alan Cumming even appears for a moment as a voice who I didn't even know until afterwards. I was looking at the crowd like, oh, that was Alan Cumming. Cool. Pixar's got that level of juice, man. They can get anybody they want. And there are people who really want to do this because who doesn't want to work in their pajamas for a company that's going to make a movie that's going to open at $300 million? It's real simple math. Yeah. Everybody wants to do this. And to be fair, like I said, they're doing this because they're very good at it. And it shows.
So Rex
is – this is great. This is very good craftsmanship.
Rex's voice is Wallace Shawn. Where have I seen him? He looks like a character actor of some kind.
Wallace Shawn, you've been seeing forever. Wallace Shawn is probably most beloved to people as Fezzik, the bad guy in The Princess Bride. Oh, the one who's in charge of Andre the Giant and the Spaniard swordsman at the beginning of the movie. Hmm. He's got a wonderful lisp. He's a great – I mean, he's a – he's one of those great figures in American entertainment is a strong word. Letters. I mean, he's the son of the longtime editor of The New Yorker. He's a playwright in his own right. He's a great character actor. I don't know where you are remembering him from. You've seen him in numerous
early movies. Yes. And I can't place it. All right. Ernie Hudson as Combat Carl.
Yeah, he's one of the people who had to take – they've had – you know, the first Toy Story came out in 1995, Lucien, 31 years ago.
Wow.
And so there are a lot of people who have voiced these characters who have passed away. And so they keep having to hire people who are – and they don't ever hire precise sound-alikes, which I really like. They get somebody who's got the tone and the feeling right. I mean, this started – Jim Varney passed away early on. Somebody else has been doing Slinky Dog for, you know, for decades at this point. Why am I utterly blanking? The voice of Mr. Potato Head, Don Rickles, passed away, you know, a few years ago. Finally. So we got somebody else voicing Mr. Potato Head this time. And all of this has a nice sort of meta quality to it it's a nice way to sort of pay homage to them, to have somebody voice the character who isn't them precisely or trying to imitate them so the character gets to live on and we can still remember, oh yeah, that was great when he used to be.
We're talking to Perry Seibert with the Michigan Movie Critics Guild about Toy Story 5. Now you're giving it just a 3, but you're telling me a lot of things about it that you really like. What would it have taken for you to have gone higher than that?
I don't think they could have. Who cares about the fifth film in a franchise that you've not come up with anything? I mean, I don't know. I come with my own baggage to Pixar at this point. I mean, I don't think they're going to come close to the glory years. I certainly don't think they're going to do it with the fifth film in a franchise, right? Mm-hmm. I'm less interested in a sequel than a new Pixar movie. Let them find something new to dig into. They are more interesting to talk about then. It's not that I dislike the film, Lucien. It's just not terribly interesting. It is better than it needs to be. That sounds so nasty, but it's a total compliment. I am talking about the work they put into this. They've thought about this. They care. This is craftsmanship, right? I don't know that this is artistry. I don't think they're saying a lot. I don't think they're breaking new ground. They're doing what Pixar does very well, but they continue to do it very well, and nobody else does it as well as they do. So, yes, go enjoy this.
All right. So do you happen to know when they are voicing their character, are they just doing their part, or are they ever together in this?
Traditionally, and everybody could do it differently. I don't know how this was done specifically. Traditionally, voiceover artists are not working with any other actors. There have been people who've demanded to do it. I want to say that Billy Crystal and John Goodman were both in studio for like the first Monsters, Inc. I think one of them asked that to be because they thought it would be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you work around Tom Hanks' schedule the best you can. He's not going to, you know, he's going to come in and do the voiceovers when he can. And you're going to let him do it because you want Tom Hanks to do it.
Yeah, right.
That goes without saying. And again, just like with real actors, you know, they record several takes in different ways. And the director is choosing which one to use.
Right.
don't, you know, they don't walk in and just do it. And that's how you hear it. It's just like a body also acting gig, right. Not just a voice gig.
Right.
But there are people who are very good at it. And they often don't need anybody else around. Hank Azaria is one of the best in the world. I don't know if he's ever
is he really?
Anybody else on this. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's why he's been on The Simpsons voice cast for 31 years.
Yeah.
Or more than that, even. Yeah, way more than that. It is a cool thing in and of itself. And you can, if you want to dig around, you can find out more about how they make these movies, because they're all years long processes because of all the effects that are necessary, right. And all of the work that goes into the animation.
So would you call this a summer blockbuster given its opening?
Well, in sheer factual terms, yeah, I think it's hard to say no to a $300 million opening. Yeah. Although that is, to be fair, that is worldwide. That's not just the U.S.
True.
That is worldwide. Yeah. And they are, which is really entertaining, right? How many people outside of the United States would care about a toy cowboy? I don't understand. I'm serious. Like, you know, I don't understand what the pull. I don't know how. I don't know the international reach of Mr. Potato Head. I don't, you know, it's such a cultural touchstone. It speaks to the Disney machine, of course, which is absolutely an international machine.
Right.
But that's in and of itself. I like that it did that well. I have no ill will towards the Toy Story franchise, and better that than many other really demeaning and awful things Pixar could be doing.
Toy Story 5. What's the next big movie out this summer?
What is coming? Oh my gosh, Lucienne, forgive me. I'm so focused on something I have coming up. I haven't been thinking about the films coming out.
Well, tell everyone what you have coming up. Go ahead.
Well, we'll talk about it later.
Oh,
we'll
okay.
talk about it later.
Oh,
let's
well,
talk about
he's
it
leaving
later.
His audience.
But there's a bunch of stuff coming up. I mean, I suppose the joke answer here would be in a couple of weeks, we have another fifth film in a franchise coming out, Lucienne.
Which one?
Do you know what we're talking about?
No.
A couple of them we've reviewed over the years, but a film whose title you will not allow me to say on the air.
Oh.
I think you've allowed me to say Jack Donkey 5 is coming out.
Oh, wow. Okay, I don't even know what that is.
Well, Donkey is not in the title.
Okay.
I'm using Donkey because that's the word you'll let me use instead of the word that would follow.
Yikes.
Jack.
You're not reviewing that, are you?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. Unless it shocks me beyond belief.
But your point is that we've got another fifth in a franchise.
I don't think Johnny Knoxville's fifth time through with the guys who are willing to be punched in the face on movies in order to have a living will be reviewed here.
No.
I could be wrong. Never say never.
No.
You know, I will say I hated that TV show. And every movie's been like, all right, that's okay. You know, that's funnier in the setting than on a TV show. I'll be very honest. I didn't mind seeing him.
All right.
What is else? Lucienne, I'm a blank at the moment. Forgive me. I can't off the top of my head pull what is coming over the rest of the summer that I am super excited for.
Well, does that mean it's not going to be a great summer?
No, I truly haven't paid attention. I've been so in the moment of what's out now and thinking about some other stuff that I have not looked past the beginning of July.
All right. There's something called Dear You. Dear You, D-E-A-R.
Let me see what I can learn.
The Magic Faraway Tree. Action Crime Insidious Out of the Further. I don't know any of these. Supergirl.
No, Supergirl's huge, coming out in a couple weeks. Absolutely. You've got another Spider-Man movie coming out. The Odyssey. Christopher Nolan's huge epic take on The Odyssey is coming out later this summer. That's...
Okay.
Something that many, many people are looking forward to. Please note the construction of that sentence.
What do you mean?
I am not one of them.
Oh.
I don't love Nolan like a lot of people do.
Right.
I find Nolan to be problematic for numerous reasons, and nothing that I've seen about The Odyssey makes me think this will be anything different. So I am not super eager for The Odyssey, but it is probably the movie that most people are talking about over the course of this summer. If not, you know, we got our fourth Tom Holland Spider-Man movie. We've got, what, a live-action Moana? None of those live-action Disney films are worth your time or energy or dollar. So, no, for me personally, super excited about. I'll tell you the trailer that surprised me. Lucianne, in front of this, Coyote versus Acme, August 28th. There's a Warner Brothers animated live-action animation mix Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner movie called Coyote versus Acme, in which Wile E. Coyote comes into the real world and finds a lawyer to sue Acme for all the products. See, it's a great premise, and it's a very funny trailer. I'm like,
much does it relate to kids today?
I don't care.
So is it for adults? Box
office question. I don't care. I want the movie to be good. I don't care if the kids relate to it. I'm in. Let's do this. If they're relating to Mr. Potato Head, they can relate to the Acme Company. Wanting to catch the Roadrunner is a human condition we can all understand. And
oh, isn't that
to.
The
can't
truth? He is
the
Barry Seibert with the Michigan Movie Critics Guild, America's film critic on the air each week, Ann Arbor Stock Station, 1290 WLBY.